When the trumpet of the march shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Acts 26 and verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. And so when the vision of God's love comes to your heart, can you refrain? Can you stay static? It's not possible. And here we are told in Jeremiah 9 chapter, they are not valiant for the truth. Now what do you do with people who say, Okay, I believe all these things. Oh, everything is fine. Everything is true. Yes and no are the same. What do you do with such people? You can't go and get anywhere with such people. You will find in many cases, this is one of the strong traditions of the East. You must not say no to an elderly person. Mark you, I started preaching as a boy, but now, of course, I don't qualify for that anymore. You must not say no to an elderly person. The earth is perfectly flat. Yes, sir. Whatever an old fool says, you must say, yes, sir. Now, in that environment, some of our good-hearted missionaries, they just took their yes for a real yes and said, Oh, so many are ready for baptism. The trouble with them is they don't know the difference between yes and no. And you say, I've got so many converts, I've built so many churches, church growth, you know. My dear people, that's not faithfulness to God's word. They are not valiant for the truth. Truth is precious. And the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. You know, people are ready to sell their souls for money. That's modern culture. They will sell their families for money. They will sell their bodies for money. They will sell their souls for money. My boss asks me to say, speak a lie. What can I do? Some years ago, when I started preaching in the United States, I said to some of those brothers, some of those preachers, keep a resignation letter in your pocket and preach the truth. And if they don't want it, present them with your resignation. You know, the economic compulsions and necessities of today are driving truth out of doors. No truth. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. My dear friends, listen. When God's truth comes to you, are you ready to go forward with it? Are you ready to communicate it? Are you ready to stand with the truth? How sad. You know, we like to stand with our own people. Now, that is another difficulty. You know, some people just cling to their own circle. And therefore, they will sell the truth, hide the truth, bury the truth. But what do they want? My own circle. What? Are you a tribal of some sort? You see, I see this tribalism as a great hindrance to the gospel. Stay in our tribe. Do what the tribe says. Dare you go against the tribe. Now that's how it goes. And all the time I find myself fighting against these tribal laws and customs in many quarters of the globe. Truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Never let the truth of God become so cheap to you. Here St. Paul says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, 19th verse, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works worthy of repentance. Some years ago, they said to me in Ulster, when there was a revival there, so many stolen things began to be returned that the shipyard there felt, we have to build a new warehouse to receive all this stuff. But look at the difference when Jesus comes into your life. You do works meet for repentance, worthy of repentance. And what do you begin with? I have stolen this pen, I'll return it. A man said to me he had to return stuff to Siemens, that big electronic firm. Of course, they deal in a variety of things. Yes. So many things. I asked a nurse in Europe, have you taken anything which belongs to the hospital? She said, no. Next morning she came to me and she said, yesterday I said no, but the fact is, I've been eating the patient's food, I've been drinking stuff in the hospital that doesn't belong to me, and I'm going to put it right. She became a very beautiful person. A sheriff, that's a police officer, he was summoned to a hospital. There in the hospital, they were finding eyes missing. You know, the big eyes box which is kept where you can pay a dollar and then take off with you a little bunch of eyes pieces. They found eyes missing. And it was traced to the chief administrator of the hospital. So this sheriff said to me, he was a very good man who had come up in the police force. He said he went over, handcuffed the man. And the administrator said to him, oh, please give me a break. Let me off this time. He said, no, get in, into the dog cage. Folks, no conscience, no truth. And the gospel comes to us saying, do works meet for repentance. Get right with God. Get right with your neighbor. Put things right. And I see people doing it in all quarters. What a wonderful thing is truth. What a wonderful thing is the Word of God. Otherwise, there would be no hope whatever. You know, looking back at history, when the Goths, the Franks, the Saxons began to attack Rome, somehow the gospel began to go out to those barbarians. And when Augustine was supposed to go to the British Isles with the word of God, in Rome, Augustine hesitated. He had heard of the barbarians, the Anglo-Saxons, and their cruelty, but he brought the gospel to them. My dear friends, we want to do God's work without any risk, any danger, any hardship. No, today we are back to barbarism. You know, in the old days, they used to scalp people and say, my father scalped so many, killed so many. Or my father brought home the heads of so many headhunters. But when the gospel went to the headhunters, that stopped. The gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. Now, friends, what does the gospel do for us when you become a disciple? If you turn to 1 Corinthians and the 9th chapter from the 18th verse. What is my reward then? Verily, truly, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. What did St. Paul do? He said, I made myself a servant. Let us pray. Let us tell God, oh God, I do not want to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Gracious Father, I do not know how many are the talents that are latent in all these dear people. I do not know what great things thou art going to bring out of their lives. Help us to be touched with your fire. We ask this in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.